For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Bleav.
This is Bleav and Georgia Dogs Podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network.
It's time to awaken an entire nation.
I'll be your dog till I die. Between the hedges, looking fly. 90,000 in the stands, I'ma do my dance, make it look fine. Coach, put me in the game. UGA, yeah, the name. Yeah, the offense gon' turn up, but the defense gon' win us the game.
Here's your host, Corey Burton.
Welcome into yet another edition. This is the Run It Back Unfinished Business edition of the Bleav in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network, the number one podcasting network for professionals. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Israel Troop. What's up, man?
What's going on, man?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just enjoying the back-to-school vibes that we have. We are, Israel, we are still virtual up here in Nashville at Hillwood High School. So just still trying to navigate the virtual learning world. I got a whole new fresh set of classes, so still getting playing the get-to-know-you games right now.
Man, we just started back Wednesday, but it's been pretty good. We had a big bout with COVID down here. But, you know, we're taking the precautions here, letting the kids get some face-to-face learning, which I know you guys can't wait to have, because I know virtual learning is, I can't do virtual learning. I get distracted myself as a teacher if I'm just looking at a computer. So, you know, hopefully y'all will get to get some face-to-face learning here real soon.
Yeah, they're supposed to make MLK weekend. I think they're supposed to make their first. That's our first benchmark. So if we can, if things get a little bit better by then, they're going to start rolling us back into in-person learning, which I think if they start then, I think by the time we get our full high school back, it'll be right after probably right around President's Day, I would guess.
Face-to-face, I understand, is very important for a kid, especially lead and all that stuff. You know, kids need that and do things. They need that face-to-face interaction and, you know, all that good stuff. So hopefully I'll get to get back here real soon.
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll happen soon enough. If not, then we'll just have to survive, I guess. That's all we can do.
But adapt and survive, baby.
Yep, adapt, survive, and advance. So lots of news, lots of good news, lots of things happening on the Georgia athletics front. Our guy Josh Brooks was promoted as full-time athletics director. I know a lot of Georgia people wanted that to happen. Israel, what do you think he brings to the table? Do you think it's a good fit?
Man, I'm so excited for Josh. He was there when I was up there. He was more of a football director of operations type of guy. And, you know, just to see him get that opportunity, I think Georgia's in very good hands. I've been watching him tweet, you know, me and him tweet back and forth. And, you know, he's already asking the students and the fans, you know, what they want, you know, at Georgia to make their experience better. You know, he's going to each individual sports team and seeing what he can do to make their experience better, you know, from a player and coach's standpoint. So, I mean, he's already doing the leg work, and he's going to do a phenomenal job at Georgia, and I can't wait to see, you know, what happens during his tenure at Georgia. And congratulations, Josh. And always remember, I'm still one of your favorite players. Don't ever forget that either.
Well, if Josh is one of your – if you're one of Josh's favorite players – we should have him on. We should talk to him about what he plans to do. But I hope the game day experience can continue to improve. I think they've made some good adjustments and additions to the stadium. I just hope they can continue to improve that experience for the fans and for the recruits. I think that's an ever going project, I think, year to year. So that's not something, you know, I think everybody falls behind year to year on game day experience, because there's always new methods and new things going on at other places. So I hope that we can continue to improve in that area. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to all the sports teams getting boosts and facilities getting boosts and just the overall Georgia brand just becoming even better, which, you know, I didn't know if it was much possible to get a ton better because I felt like we've turned a corner at some point where our brand just took off to a whole nother level and facilities really started sprouting up around and upgrades and things like that. So it's good times for Georgia athletics. I think there's, you know, basketball's doing well, even though they lost in overtime. They started off the conference slate 0-2, but they've dropped two tough games against Mississippi State and LSU.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that some. But let's talk about, you know, let's do a postseason debrief. Football-wise, JT Daniels announced he's coming back. Jordan Davis announced he's coming back. I think the coaches were shocked to hear that James Cook decided to come back. Justin Schaefer's coming back for his for another year. Zeus is still making a decision. And then some of the DBs are leaving early, which I don't blame them. Like Tyson Campbell's leaving early. Mark Webb is leaving early. I think... If I read it correctly, I think Malik Herring is coming back too, right?
No, he actually declared for the draft, I think it was yesterday or the day before.
Okay.
I think decided to go ahead and go, and like anything, you know, these guys are living out their dreams. So I guess they got the grade that they expected to get. So now it's up to them, you know, have a good combine if they're invited and have a good pro day, and you never know what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I wish all these guys that have declared well in the draft, I think they will do pretty well. I think Ojulari really played himself into a great draft slot in the bowl game. I think his decision to play in the bowl game, I think, will help him overall in his draft stock. And I think some of the guys coming back, again, as I said at the start, they've come back, they want to run it back, and they have some unfinished business for 2021. So, you know, you got to think Georgia is an early contender for the national championship. Now, before we get into that, we're brought to you by BetOnline.ag. The NFL playoffs start this weekend. The national championship is Monday. There's a lot of great betting lines out there. Are you taking Alabama? Are you taking Ohio State?
I don't know. I think I'm going to wait and see. you know, I haven't heard any news about Justin Fields and his rib injury, so I'm going to wait and see. I'll probably make a decision probably Saturday or Sunday on who I'm going to take, but right now I have to go with Alabama, and you know, just because of the body of work, they do have the reigning Heisman Trophy winner on their team. So, you know, it's going to be a really good ball game, especially how Ohio State showed up and showed out against Clemson. So it's going to be a classic Alabama-Ohio State game, and, you know, it's going to be very fun to watch.
Right. I'm back and forth. It's an 8-point spread. I think I said on Illegal Motion that I'm taking Alabama, but I've been waffling back and forth. So don't take that for gospel yet. I will let you know. I might tweet it out what I'm going to pick. But the NBA and college basketball season are back as well. There's a lot of bets to lock in on. So if you're thinking about picking the Lakers to repeat or someone to upset Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs, go to BetOnline. From game spreads and totals to team and player and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. There's always the online casino as well. That never closes. So head to betonline.ag today. Take full advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag. Sign up today. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Looking at some of the lines, Israel, we talk about some of these guys returning. If you look at the money line, JT Daniels is plus 800, which I think I've learned that it means he has 8-1 odds as an early Heisman favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So that's got to be good, right?
That's really good. You know, I was excited to see that he decided to come back, which I didn't have any doubt that he would come back considering he only played 4 games. So just seeing him tweet that, you know, he was coming back and just the excitement that Georgia has surrounding him, especially with Brock Vandegrift coming in. He can come in and get a year under his belt and, you know, see how to operate the offense. I think that's great. And I think that JT Daniels had a really good showing in those 4 games that he was in. And, I mean, he threw 14 touchdowns in 4 games. So, I mean, you know, that's That's pretty good. You can only imagine if he played, you know, we had a regular season, he played 11, 12 games, you know, what could have happened. So hopefully, you know, this COVID thing gets worked down. We get to see him ball out like everybody thinks and knows that he can.
Yeah, I think he can. I mean, I think he's getting more and more comfortable with the offense. I think physically he's going to get healthier. You could see throughout the four games that he actually did play in that he was still having a little trouble driving off of that leg,
mm-hmm.
or driving into that leg with some of his deeper throws. You could tell he was having to put a little bit more air under it. You could tell that something wasn't quite right. But he'll have a full off season to get healthy, to get in the weight room with Coach Sinclair, strengthen that leg up, and I think you'll see a completely different quarterback. You'll see one that mentally is more able to handle the system, better able to make checks at the line of scrimmage, take care of that 25% that quarterbacks need to take care of from play calling situation, because the expectation is that the OC is going to get you in a good play about 75% of the time. Mm-hmm. The quarterback needs to at these levels. Now in high school, it's got to be, you know, we got to be closer to 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
For college, if you've recruited a great quarterback, you know, 75% is that number. You can expect them to get you the other 25%. Like if you call a bad play, they can check you out of it, things like that. So I think JT Daniels is going to be more comfortable with that. He's going to be more comfortable with his cast of receivers, whoever those guys might be, whoever the playmakers that are going to emerge. You got to think, obviously, Kyrus and Pickens those two, and probably Arian Smith, probably Roseme, probably Jermaine Burton, you know, any one of those trio of guys, I think, are going to have an electric season next year. So the sky's the limit for this offense is I guess, the main point. So excited that James Cook is coming back. Zeus will probably come back, I hope. But he might take advantage of trying to see what his draft stock is like now, which I certainly wouldn't blame him given the injury situations that he's had.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't blame him at all. You know, the shelf life for a running back is small. You know, it's at most 3 years for most people, and sometimes it's shorter than that. So, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with him, you know, sending his papers, you know, in to see where he lands. And, you know, we would love to have him back. You know, he's a great, great back. I mean, to do the things that he does and to run with such power and ferociousness that he does, you know, that's great to have it running back too. So, you know, wherever he decides, you know, I'm here for him. And, you know, any college football player can tell you their goal is to go to the NFL. So if any time a kid has that opportunity, that chance, you know, there's nothing wrong with him taking it. So I hope he comes back. I think with him coming back and, you know, with Cook and Milton and those guys, you know, in the backfield, Dejon coming in and having a good freshman campaign, you know, we're going to be really, really good on offense. So we got some holes to fill up front, you know, which is always important, but I just know we got two big heavy bellies coming in with this class. So, you know, we'll be fine up front offensively. It's going to be – hopefully we get to the Alabamas and the Sarkisian type world with we got so many weapons outside, and we got running backs that can do them. We got a dominant offensive line. And for Munkin, you know, having JT Daniels come back, you know, that takes a little pressure off of you too, because you have a competent quarterback. You have a guy that came up and stepped in and, you know, did some really good things in four games. Just four games, the things that he's been able to do. Now, like I said, now you take the OC, now he's able to throw a little bit more at him. So, you know, sky's the limit for this Georgia offense, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I am too. And you know, I think that filling just a couple of holes, I think, is better than doing a complete rebuild. I think it's, you know, best case scenario for JT to come back and for Brock to learn. And I think, you know, the quarterback situation is going to be pretty solid for the next few years. The receiving core is going to be great, and I think there's going to be more pieces added as we go and as these guys get older. And there's just going to be some overall explosiveness. I mean, you're starting to see the philosophy shift from, you know, from the Kentucky and Florida games to what we had over the course of the four games with JT Daniels. I mean, we became more explosive. We were taking more chances, taking more deep shots. I think there was a stat where in four games, JT Daniels had hit 15 plays of 30-plus yards, which is outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
And if you extrapolate that over probably
a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, I think so too. And I think if you extrapolate that number, definitely, definitely. And the interception, he got hit as he threw, so I can't really hold that against him too much. But, you know, I think if you take that 15 and you extrapolate it over a full season, I think you've probably got, you got four games, so you have to think 12 games, so multiply that by, three?
Mm-hmm.
So you got about 45 explosive plays of 30 plus yards. That's pretty damn good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's pretty explosive. So if you look at that stat and still think that Kirby is ultra, ultra conservative, then I don't really know what to tell you, to be honest with you. But I think Todd Monken has got full control of this offense. He's got guys that he's comfortable with now, and I think he can open some things up. No offense to Stetson. But JT Daniels is a completely different animal, and I'm excited to see kind of how it progresses over next season, because you add that element to an already strong run game, it's going to be scary, man. It's going to be real scary, and I'm hoping that we can get over the hump and finally get over that Alabama hump, get into that playoff and break through and finally win one.
Man, I'm telling you, it's great to see, and you know. You look at the Alabamas of the world, and like I tell people all the time, Alabama doesn't rebuild; they reload. And right now, we're reloading. You know, so it's great to see, and it's good to see that, you know, Kirby has confidence in his offensive staff, and you know he's letting Coach Monken do what he does. You know, and as a head coach who's primarily a defensive guy, you know that takes a lot of weight off your shoulders as well. So just watching the body of work that's going on at Georgia right now. And like you said, as soon as we get over that hump, I mean, it's going to be sky's the limit for us. So next year's maybe the year, you never know. But I'm just excited for, you know, everything to finally get back, you know, fans to be able to go to Sanford Stadium and watch the light show and watch us put up points and watch our defense dominate. So hopefully this COVID thing gets under control so we can go ahead and get everything back, because I know the fans are ready for that as well.
Yeah, and I think our new AD is thinking about putting alcohol and selling alcohol in the stadium too. So that'll be a welcome addition for the fans. But you know, looking at the defense, you know, you lose quite a bit on the back end, but you know, I think we expected that with the way we recruited with defensive backs, and I think we understood, you know, that these guys were going to probably be a one shot deal for us. We're going to have to replace three, maybe four guys in the secondary. We're going to have to replace more than that with Mark Webb, Tyson Campbell, DJ Daniel, Richard LeCount, Eric Stokes, obviously. Mm-hmm. So you know, got quite a bit to replace in the back end. I think that's where we get hit the hardest. But we've recruited some talented guys, and so I'm excited to see if these guys can come in and play at a high level. And I think Richard LeCount getting hurt helped us develop some depth with the DB. So where do we stand with that position?
It's going to be hit or miss, you know, DB, and especially in the Southeastern Conference is a position where you got to be tough. You got to be physical. And I think we got some tough physical guys coming in. We got some long guys coming in, especially in Nylon Green. And by the way, Justin Schaefer just decided that he's coming back to play O-line for us. So that's another big pickup offensively. But defensively, you know, these guys are going to have to come in. They're going to have to play. Like you said, Richard getting hurt. You know, really, it really helped us, you know, with Lewis Singh coming in. And, you know, he's what you want at a strong safety position. You know, he's coming in, he's knocking people. You know, you wish he'd kind of take it easy a little bit, not get himself hurt every once in a while. But, I mean, he's coming in reckless abandonment, you know, and that's what you want to see at that level, you know, at Georgia. And that's what we're used to seeing, that junkyard dog defense, you know. So right now, you know, I think we're good up front. I think with N'Kobe Dean, I think he's going to be leading that linebacker group next year. You know, I think with him coming back and a couple of guys to help him out, Anderson's coming back. So I think the front seven is going to be good. You know, it's always hit or miss on that back end. But when you got athletes coming in that have great ball skills like the guys that we have coming in, I think we're going to be fine. You know, it's just the point of figuring out the best scheme that best suits them. You know, are we a zone team when all those guys get to moving, or are we a man team? Can we get pressure on them? So, you know, the defensive staff has their homework cut out for them, but, you know, you got one of the best as a head coach and one of the best as a defense coordinator. So I think we're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, I like the size of all these guys coming in. We signed 6 foot, 6'1", 6'2". We got Keely Ringo coming off surgery, 6'2", 205. Got Jalen Kimber at cornerback, 6 foot. Amir Speed coming in at 6'3". He adds some presence out there in the secondary. Obviously, Lewis Seen being the veteran guy back there. Hopefully, he's learned some things. Major Burns is a guy that comes in at 6'2". Playing that safety position. You know, we lose a lot with Mark Webb, but we got Darian Branch at 6'2". We've got, you know, Christopher Smith, who got some really great time, number 29, that played safety behind Richard LeCount. Played quite admirably after he kind of got his baptism by fire in the Florida game a little bit. But he's gotten a lot better. Latavius Breeny. Got a lot better. He played. So he had to kind of move around.
I like that kid a lot. I love that Breeny kid now. I like watching him in that bowl game. He was flying. I like him a lot.
He had to play a lot of different positions. He was kind of moved. He was kind of that Swiss Army knife that got moved around in practice because somebody would be down or we had some COVID issues during practice, contact tracing things that forced guys out of practice. So Breeny was like, all right. You gotta go play linebacker. Okay, now you gotta go play safety. Okay, jump out there and play some corner.
Yeah,
you know, just do a little bit of everything. So he kind of got. I mean, his head was spinning a little bit, and you could tell early on. But once he got settled in, that guy was he was on point.
Mm-hmm. I love watching him and seeing and man, N'Kobe Dean in that bowl game. I mean, once they got settled in and kind of figured out everything, they could pretty much shut them down. So I mean, we're young on the defensive side and. On the back end, but I mean, those guys are smart and
they're talented too. And they've got a little chip on their shoulder,
exactly.
Too.
And throwing them in the fire now, you know, and letting them, you know, like you said, you know, get take your lumps now, you know, so you know, the next year and the year after that, you know, you kind of know what's going on. And just watching those guys, I mean, we're going to be fine, we're going to be really good, and you know, especially with some firepower up front coming back. I can't wait to, you know, hopefully we get to have a spring, you know, we get some reports out of spring and, you know, get to have the spring game, but I can't wait, for that first game in September.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a heck of a game to start out with. Got Clemson, at a neutral site in Charlotte. So, going up against other, Heisman hopeful who is actually, according to Bet Online, the same odds 8-1. As JT Daniels and DJ Uiagalelei, I think I said that
there
right.
There you go. Probably getting better and better every time. Okay, there you go.
I mean, we're going to have plenty of practice saying his name. And he might just be DJ Uiagalelei before too long. So, but yeah, we're going to have our work cut out defensively, but that's okay. We got some talented guys coming in. You know, I think Nylon Green is going to come in and make an immediate impact on the defense, and so I'm excited to see that, and you know, I'm excited to see what these guys on the back end have. So lots of things going on, bright future for the Dogs, looking, you know, obviously early contenders for the national championship. I'm going to look up their odds as far as future props for you know, for national champs next year. So but yeah, just, you know, talk about, you know, just the team overall, what we got and things like that.
It's amazing to see, you know, our coaches have done an amazing job, especially with COVID. You know, these coaches hadn't been able to get out and see the players and talk to them, you know, outside of just text messages and phone calls. I'm sure they've been doing a couple of Zoom calls like me and you do for our podcast, but you know, just seeing the body of what they've done and been able to keep guys who've been committed for a while and keep them interested and keep them engaged, you know, just congratulations to our staff and congratulations on the bowl win. And like you said, with a new AD coming in, there's a lot of excitement around Georgia right now, not just football, just all sports in general. I know the baseball and softball teams getting ready to start their season. So it is a great time to be a Dog right now.
Yeah, no doubt. Speaking of the other sports, you mentioned baseball. They have the SEC coaches have voted for the full slate. Now I think it's coming down to the ADs, ACC. Let's see, league coaches that they would attempt to play a full 14-week schedule, including mm-hmm. the normal slate of 10 SEC weekend series. So I think the coaches are down for that. Now the ADs have to agree. So COVID is going to. I don't know why COVID is playing such wreaking havoc on baseball, because baseball as a sport is just a very socially distance friendly sport because you're not crammed together.
Yeah, you got 9 people on the field and they're all spread out. You know, nobody's really touching each other. You know, the only people that really touch the ball, you know, the pitcher and the catcher, obviously, and the umpire. But, you know, unless they hit the ball, nobody else touched the ball. So, you know, you kind of got to take that into consideration. But, you know, with baseball, you can spread them out amongst the stadium. You know, most SEC stadiums are huge. You know, they're huge venues. You know, you can spread everybody out and all that good stuff. So I don't see a problem with being able to play, you know, a full slate of SEC games. And, you know, even when they go to Omaha, you know, it's a really huge stadium. So I don't see what the big deal is with anything that's played outside, you know, where people aren't in close confines. You know, football is different because, you know, when you go to football games, everybody's really close to each other, packed in the stadium, you know. But with baseball, you know, you can spread out, you know, players aren't really touching each other and everything like that. So, you know, I'm looking forward to baseball season this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're still working out a lot of the scheduling issues, but they're opening the season with 3 4-game weekend series against Evansville on February 19th, starting that day, Gardner-Webb on the February 26th, and North Florida on March 5th, with a single game on Friday, doubleheader on Saturday, and a single game Sunday. So they're four-game weekend series that are going to allow guys to get in and play. They're still working on a couple of midweek, like 2-game sets with mm-hmm. I think they're working on one with Georgia Tech that they're going to have to reschedule thanks to the adjustments to the schedule. So they're going to try to get a midweek 2-game set with Georgia Tech in the works for that. So baseball's looking we'll do as we get closer to the start of the season, we'll kind of really do a deeper dive into the baseball team and what they got. But let's switch over to basketball. Israel, we started the conference slate 2 games in, unfortunately 0-2 in the season. The first game got off to a really sluggish start. The energy just really wasn't there against Mississippi State. A little bit better effort, actually led by 10 points at one point in the second half, but LSU came back and was overwhelming, and they won 94-92 in overtime. You know, if you're thinking of the word moral victory, Tom Crean said, no, moral victory is not a word. It's not a phrase. We've learned that we can come out here and compete in our first road game. We can compete. We can get our speed going, but we can also make mistakes, and that's what we have to overcome. So we're sitting at 7-2 overall in basketball. Some exciting things happening. Grad transfer from George Mason is playing pretty well. And, you know, I think that we've got some things going on in the basketball world. So, what do you think about basketball? Tamani Kamara, PJ Wheeler, PJ Horn, all those guys.
Yeah. You know, PJ Horn is a Tifton product. You know, he's from my hometown, Tiff County, and I watched them win a state championship at Tiff County. So I already knew what kind of player he was, and I was very excited to see, you know, when he decided to, he's a grad transfer over to Georgia. You know, I was really excited, you know, the hometown fans and people get to go and see him play. So, you know, basketball is basketball. You know, you can win on any given day, you can lose on any given day, just like it is with football. So I think that now that they're starting to play, you know, an SEC schedule, you know, I think they're going to see where they stand. And right now, you know, with basketball, you got to start fast. You know, basketball is a game you got to start fast because you can get behind the 8-ball real quick. You know, you can be down 10, you know, they hit 3 threes and they're back in there within one, you know, not like football. So I think they'll be fine. You know, they got some firepower over there. You know, we from what I've seen so far, we look a little bit smaller than everybody else. So we got to use our speed and techniques and different things that, you know, that are going to try to give us an advantage against some of these bigger SEC teams that we're going to face down the stretch. So I think Coach Crean's doing a great job, like we've said before. He's getting guys in. He's getting guys committed. So, you know, basketball is on the rise. And I think Crean's kind of got to get us going. Like he said, you know, more victories. As a coach, in your mind, you're like, more victories are good. But, you know, on the flip side of that, you know, it's you want to win basketball games. And if you're going to go to OT with a very good LSU team and, you know, get that close, you know, you want to win that basketball game. So I look forward to seeing the second matchup. You know, if they do have one against those guys. So, basketball hadn't really been the forefront of Georgia sports in a while, and it's glad to see that we're getting recognition right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully that we can get a little bit faster starting in these games, and hopefully we can hold up down the stretch. The grad transfer from George Mason, whose name was escaping me earlier, Justin Keir, he's hit 3 12-pointers. It's tied for the most by any Dogs under Crean. He had 25 points, which is a season high with Georgia, in his 10th 20-point game of his career. You have Kamara posted his fourth double-double against LSU, 14 points, 10 rebounds. This was Georgia's fifth game of the season with 10-plus steals. They had only 4 games combined in the first 2 seasons under Tom Crean with Turner Moore. So this is their fifth game this season. Fast break points, 28-3 advantage in fast break points against LSU, and Wheeler's point, 21 points, were a season high for him as well. So some positive things to take out of this game. It seems like we're going to be a running team, which is good. We've got to get points in transition. We've got to get the ball swinging around the perimeter and really just kind of play fast and play at a breakneck pace. I think if we try to slow down and play another team's game, then that's kind of where we get in trouble, because we can't really play a half-court offense. I don't think we're not big enough overall to play a half-court offense. I think we're a transition, move the ball, run the court type team. We'll see what we got as we travel to Fayetteville on Saturday. That's our next game. So what are we looking forward to there?
Just like you said, just starting fast, you know, starting fast and keep the pressure on teams, you know. With us being a little bit smaller than everybody else, you know, a good run and gun team in basketball right now is not bad, you know. So, and I'm sure Coach Crean is preaching finish, you know. So, I mean, we're right there. I think he's doing a great job. I think basketball team's moving in the right direction. You know, the excitement around basketball, men's basketball, is great to see, because it hadn't been there for a while. You know, with Coach Crean and those guys, you know, he's still trying to get his footing, and, you know, he's putting people in the right spots, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, those kids got to go out there and perform and play. So we'll see. We'll see if they learn their lesson this weekend in Starksville. So a good Mississippi State basketball team. So it's going to be – I don't normally watch basketball, but I'm going to watch this one. Georgia's got me watching. Then, you know, it helps that my man PJ is playing for him too, you know, my hometown guy. So
that helps.
But, you know, with us talking about it, and, you know, we just had a first round pick, and this year's NBA draft too, you know, kind of brings that excitement back to Georgia basketball that's always been there with the girls. But it's good to see that the boys are finally getting that recognition that they deserve as well.
Well, Arkansas is going to be a hell of an opponent. They are 1-2 in conference so far, but this is going to be a guard friendly game. Sevier Wheeler for Georgia, Moses Moody for Arkansas. It's going to be a matchup that I'm looking forward to. Wheeler's averaging 12.8 and 6.4 assists over the last 5 games. Moody is at what Dickie V would call a diaper dandy. He's averaging 15.8 over the last 5 games. Arkansas has a pair of great, or actually a trio, not a pair, of great freshmen with Moody, JD Note, and Desi Sills. They've accounted for 50% of the team's scoring. Arkansas is actually first amongst SEC teams with an average of 87.2 points per game. So this is going to be a game where Georgia is going to have to They're going to have some disruption defensively. They're going to have to dictate the tempo. I think if they can, again, if they can run, they'll be fine. But Georgia's 6-0 when it holds opponents to 42.4% or worse from the field, 1-2 whenever opponents shoot better than that. So they Arkansas 7-0 when it allows 42.4% or less from the field. And then obviously only 2-2 when they exceed that mark. So both teams are going to have to kind of rely on ball disruption, shot disruption, things like that, force Georgia into shots that they're uncomfortable taking. And really for Georgia is just get these freshmen to make freshman mistakes, and just kind of run the floor, hit a few threes, get some momentum. Sevier Wheeler is connected on 22.9% of three-pointers. He's attempted 35 of them. He's made 6 of 20 over the last 5 games. He's made 75% of his foul shots, so he's got to improve in that too. So I think with the play, just both these teams are looking for more consistency as they go. You know, with Arkansas, they're going to make freshman mistakes. Georgia, they just got to capitalize on it and, again, hit those transition buckets, and I think they'll be fine.
That's it. One thing about basketball is forcing people to do what you want them to do. You know, in football, it's a little bit different because you have so many moving pieces. But in basketball, if you can force a team to do exactly what you want them to do, you know, apply that pressure and make them, like you said, take shots that they aren't accustomed to taking. I mean, that's the recipe for victory. So, it's gonna be a good game this weekend. I look forward to watching it.
Yeah, I do too. It'll be my first basketball game of the season. I tried to watch just a random game the other night, and it's just hard to do. Basketball is just not my sport, unfortunately. But I think it doesn't help that I'm a fan of the Hawks, who aren't very good most of the time.
Hey, they've been doing all right lately, though. They've been showing a little spark here and there this year.
Yeah, they're getting there, which I think is the reason why I'm starting to become a little bit more interested in basketball. And I think Georgia being terrible at basketball for most of my time, actually all of my time in school, I think they had that one good year in my freshman year, and they had to pull the plug because Jim Herrick, that whole situation.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that one, but that was I actually got on the news on that one. I was I was down there, you know, the bus stop down by the practice field in between the Steg and the practice field in that corner by the academic building.
Mm-hmm.
So I was catching the bus there to get back to my car, which I think I can't remember where I was parking at that time, but I had a parking pass for one of those garages and I had to take a bus to it. So I was standing there and the news crew comes walking up, said, "Hey, can we interview you?" And I was like, "Sure."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they asked me a question. So I got on the news and I would love to find that clip. If I could.
I'm sure you could YouTube it.
That'd be awesome.
YouTube has everything.
I probably could. yeah, they do. It's amazing what YouTube has to offer. So, but yeah, I'm excited about Georgia basketball. It's the first time I've been excited about Georgia basketball since they made that run in the SEC tournament when the tornado hit in 08. And then randomly, I think, in 2012 where they got in to the NCAA tournament and got their – tails handed to him by Washington. I think that was Isaiah Thomas and Washington team that just destroyed us. But I think we finally got a team, and we're starting to build a program.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've had some good teams along the years, but we really haven't been able to develop a program because our only tradition is Dominique Wilkins.
Yeah.
I think being able to build a solid program with a foundation, I think it's going to be great, and Tom Crean is starting to do a good job of that.
Oh, yeah. You know, you got to, like you said, it's about building the program, you know, building the brand of Georgia basketball, Georgia men's basketball. You know, the women's side has always had that brand. You know, they've always been really good. And, you know, it's time for the boys to saddle up and bring their worth as well. You know, and I think Coach Cream is taking it from the bottom, and he's trying to get it back. Well, not get it back, but more so get it started. And I think we're moving in the right direction with him and that program. And like I said, there's a lot of excitement around Georgia sports right now, and especially when a team who hasn't traditionally done well starts, you know, hitting a stride and starts doing well, you know, that just shows you just how well, you know, recruiting's going and the facilities and all that good stuff and fan support and, you know, that all that goes into, you know, building a brand and building the foundation of what you want it to look like. And I think Coach Crean is finally starting to figure it out. And you know, it's great to watch, you know, when you have a school and all your sports are doing well and they're competing for championships, you know, that's always good. So, you know, Georgia's heading the right direction. And, you know, both of us being alum, it's always good to see. And it always makes it good to, you know, go back and watch on TV and tell all your buddies, hey, watch my boys, you know, watch them on TV. They're going to be pretty good, you know. So, you know, with basketball finally making that stride, we're finally hitting that peak at Georgia where, you know, all the sports are doing well. So it's exciting to see. And we just got a phenomenal athletic director too. So that's always awesome.
Things are looking up, man. One of the greatest things I like to hear is, hey, Georgia's pretty good at baseball, or hey, Georgia's making some moves in basketball. And, you know, I'm not used to hearing that. I'm used to turning on the TV in January going, oh, we're down by 20. Okay.
Oh,
all
right. It's basketball season. Over.
When the girls basketball playing. Season. Yeah. It's like, okay, I'm going to scoreboard watch the girls. I'm just going to, like, barely even scoreboard watch the men. It's just basically from the bowl game, it's, okay, we have this many days till G-Day, so I can watch that. You know, the Braves playing. And then, you know, watch Georgia baseball, which we were cellar dwellers from, like, 09 till – I think we finally made it back to the tournament in like 14, I think, mm-hmm. something like that. Or, you know, and Georgia baseball is experiencing a renaissance again. They're trending in the right direction. It took Coach Strickland a lot of time. It took him, I think, 3-4 seasons to get out of the cellar. But I think he finally found the right mix of players. Baseball is tricky because you can enter the draft out of high school. So any player worth their weight in salt more than likely is going to go to the major leagues. But so that's a tough sport to recruit to. And so you don't know, like, you might sign 2 or 3 great players. Like, you might sign immediate freshman Sunday starting pitcher, but then he gets drafted in the second round by the Twins, and he's going to go to the major leagues, and in 3 years he's going to be the third starter for the Twins. So, you know, it's a tough sport to manage consistently, but I do love the rule for them of if you go to school, mm-hmm. if you enroll, you got to stay 3 years, or you can go right out of high school. Which I think basketball, if basketball ever adopted that rule, I think college basketball overall as a sport would drastically improve.
Man, in high school, play baseball as well. So, you know, it's hard to turn down that money. You know, baseball is the only sport that has guaranteed money. Like, you're going to get that no matter what. You know, and it's hard to tell an 18, 17, 18-year-old mm-hmm. kid, hey, we're going to give you $2 million for high school. It's hard for him to turn that down, you know.
Yeah, I don't blame any kid that goes to professional baseball right out of high school. I don't blame them one bit. Now, I think the money, as you get, you know, the money dwindles as you go down in the draft, but and the journey gets a lot more difficult as you go. But mm-hmm. There was a guy, Jeff Francoeur, who graduated the same year I did. So I kind of followed, and my cousins went to Parkview, so I kind of followed, not like closely, but, you know, I like, he was mm-hmm. set to go play football and baseball at Clemson. And he got drafted in the first round by the Atlanta Braves. And then, so, you know, that story, he ends up in the major leagues, like, I think 4 seasons later, he ends up in the major leagues and has a pretty nice major league career. And, you know, he got a lot of money coming out of high school in the draft. So I don't blame him one bit for taking that. You know, I think there's some people that would have selfishly liked to see him play football and see what he could do in football. But then again, you know, you got $2 million waving in front of you. That's really difficult to turn down no matter what.
Exactly. I mean, they write that check off the rip. I mean, that is $2 million in your pocket. That is, here you go. Here's $2 million. You know, as an 18-year-old kid, and all I have to do is go play baseball, shoot, you can go and sign me up.
Yeah. The hardest thing I'll do is ride a bus between games. That's it? Oh, okay. Where do I sign? Where's the papers?
That's it. I mean, that's really hard to turn down. And And it, with the way that, you know, travel ball and all that stuff, AAU ball and all that stuff's going on, these kids are getting a lot more exposure. So you kind of run into that a little bit. But at the same time, you know, you got kids who, you know, want to raise their draft stock. So, you know, they go to school and that's when you get those diamonds in the rough that, okay, this kid got drafted, you know, but he decided to go to school. And now you look and he's a first, second round pick, you know, he's a junior, a sophomore, junior. So, you know, that it's either or, you know, sometimes they'll go and sometimes they'll bust, or sometimes they'll wait and then they go up and, you know, raise their stock and, you know, they get that big payday. So, you know, so, but it's always good to see kids out and doing things and, you know, using their talents to, you know, better themselves, better their families and stuff like that. So that's why I never get mad at a kid who decides he wants to go to the NFL draft. You know, if he decides he wants to go and he got the grade to do it, he has a good combine show and he goes, you know, you never know. Sky's the limit for that kid, you know, and that's always the goal. You know, kid, if you're playing a sport, if you're playing a college sport and you want to go to school and do all that stuff, your goal is to be a professional at whatever you do, you know? So that's just like going to school. If you want to be a chemist or you want to be an engineer, you're going to school to better yourself. So, you know, I'm never mad at a kid for, you know, trying to make, you know, a better way for themselves. So, you know, all the selfish people can, you know, go sit in the back of the bus and watch.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's selfish as fans to blame a kid for trying to take an opportunity. And now, like, you're seeing a lot of people graduate in 3 years anyway. So, like, they get their degree and they leave early for the pros. It's the best of both worlds. So I don't blame them one bit. I actually, you know, applaud that they made it. Like, and the ones that do it decisively, I actually applaud that even more because they're decisive. They know what they want. They know what their goals are. And they know the risk involved because there is a risk. You're not guaranteed just because your draft grade says you're a third rounder doesn't mean you're going to get drafted in the third round. Exactly. You know, there's a lot of things that dictate where you get drafted. But as we all know in the NFL, it's not where you get drafted. If you look at Tay Crowder, he was Mr. Irrelevant. He made all pro as a rookie. So it doesn't matter where you get drafted. It matters everything what you do when you get there. Like for Tristan Thompson, you know, he took a risk. It didn't work out for him. But then again, he got into an NFL camp and didn't do what he was supposed to do or didn't, you know, didn't quite work out for him and he didn't end up making a team. But there's also a ton of guys that, you know, they take a chance and they get drafted higher than, you know, like Mecole Hardman, I thought got drafted higher than he was expected to. And he's doing pretty well with the Chiefs. He got into a great situation. You know, there's guys that are get drafted lower that are exceeding expectations, like Tay Crowder, who I just mentioned. And then there's some guys that are right on point. You know, there's some guys that leave early and they're expected to go in the second round. They go in the fifth round, like if you're looking at Jake Fromm, which things haven't worked out as well as he wanted them to. But then again, he's on an NFL roster, so he'll get his chance at some point maybe. I don't know. But so I don't blame them as long as they know what the risks are and they understand what, you know, what could happen. I don't blame them one bit for trying.
No, I mean, it like I said, the goal is anytime you play a sport, the goal is to go and play professionally. That's what your goal is. So, man, I never blame a kid. You know, you hate to hit them with the "I told you so" though. You know, there's always that aspect. I told you should have stayed another year. But you know, if you want to go live your dream and you want to do that and this, that, and you know, it's on you. Once you make that decision, it's on you now. And a lot of these kids, and you see them now, they do what they're supposed to do. You know, sometimes they get the big head a little bit and then they kind of get grounded too. But for the most part, a lot of these kids who go early, you know, they keep doing what they're supposed to do. And you get to see them grow up, you know, before your eyes. And, you know, and like I said, a lot of them come back and they get their degree. You know, during their off season, they'll come back. I've seen it plenty. You know, Thomas Davis, as old as he was, came back and got his. Me and him graduated together in 2011. So, you know, you can always come back and get your degree if you decide to leave early and you hadn't got it yet. But like you said, a lot of guys are graduating in 3 years. In 3 years, you want me to take this BS class just to play football when I can go and be in the NFL making money? Nah, I'm going to go make money. I already got my degree, too, just in case that doesn't work out.
Yeah, exactly. So lots of things going on, but lots of great stuff happening at Georgia. So stay tuned to that. Basketball season's getting in full swing, so I'm actually excited about Georgia basketball, which is, I haven't said that in quite some time. So, some other news on some other fronts. Mike Bobo, Coach Bobo, is Auburn's new offensive coordinator. After he was retained and signed a new contract with Shane Beamer, decides to up and leave to go to Auburn. They hire also Derek Mason as their defensive coordinator. I think two great hires. I've heard bits and pieces of why they're not good hires, why they are great hires, and everything in between. So what do you think of what Auburn's doing?
You saw my tweet yesterday. I was like, oh my God, Auburn is not doing Auburn things right now. They're getting very competent coaches. The new coach, Coach Brian, how you say his last name again? I forget his last name.
Harsin.
Harsin. Coach Harsin is making moves, man. I mean, you just hired away one of the top OCs in the SEC away from a school that, you know, he was at, and, you know, Shane Beamer decided to keep him. And, you know, and you not only that, but you take the O-line coach away too, and he's already made a splash and gotten a kid to commit and gotten a couple of kids to stay. So, I mean, Coach Harsin's doing it up. And I like the fact that Auburn is giving him that chance to do what he wants with his staff. You know, we said it all along that, you know, Coach Mason wasn't going to be unemployed for long. And what's it been, a month? Not even that?
Yeah, and he had his. So, I think he had his choice at jobs. I think he was weighing some options. So, yeah, he had opportunities quickly.
He gets to stay in the SEC, and those relationships that he's built, you know, when he was at Vanderbilt with a couple of kids, you know, now he's at Auburn. You know, now he just worries about defense now. You know, like we said all along, some guys are just good coordinators, and maybe he's a good coordinator, and obviously he is, because, I mean, he went unemployed very long. So,
he's highly thought of.
That Auburn defense, and, you know, Zakoba McClain, who's, I coached him down here at Valdosta, you know, he decided to stay too. So they're getting some guys to stay and play one more year. And like we're doing at Georgia, they're running it back one more time. So the SEC is looking really, really good on both sides, the East and the West. So, you know, just congratulations, Coach Bobo and Coach Friend, who both I knew were at Georgia. And I always had a lot of respect for Coach Mason. So, I think Auburn's trending in the right direction, which is scary now, with the great coaches they have now, and I think those coaches are going to be able to come in and, you know, bring some more excitement to Auburn football. So the SEC is on the up and up, and it's good to see.
Yeah, no doubt. I think they hit two home runs here with these hires. I think Coach Bobo is going to be great for Tank Bigsby and Bo Nix at developing a system there. So I'm excited about that. So before I let you go, Israel, before we wrap this thing, national championship game, as we record on a Friday, is this Monday. Who you got, man?
Ooh, I think I have to go with Alabama on this one. I think they're going to send Coach Sarkisian out, you know, with a bang. And it's so hard to go against that offense. I mean, good Lord. I mean, it's just really hard because, you know, they're going to put up points, you know, and after watching Ohio State's corners, you know, kind of fall and look very unathletic against Clemson on a couple of plays, I think, you know, you got Devontae Smith and Mechie and Forrestall and all
and
those
possibly,
guys.
Possibly.
And Waddle coming back.
He's a game-time decision.
I think they just have a few more weapons than they own offense, and Ohio State has on defense. But, you know, that game is really going to be one in the trenches because Ohio State's front seven is really, really good. So, as far as stopping the run, the pass, not so much. I don't know if they just kind of blind dropping, you know, Alabama, you get those guys the balls in space, and then it's going to be a touchdown no matter what. So, if they can control the run and maybe control the pass a little bit, I think Ohio State stands a chance. But I think Alabama has just a little bit too much firepower offensively, and they'll end up overwhelming Ohio State's defense. So I'm gonna see what the spread is. I don't know.
It's eight and a half.
Eight and a half.
So basically,
I think that's about right. I think about a touchdown or two. But I think Alabama's just too good right now, and they're clicking too well right now to lose this football game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's gonna be a track meet. I think it's gonna be a high scoring track meet. I think it's gonna be tight for most of the way. Alabama might get a few stops late that allows them to pull ahead like by 10 points or so. I don't think they're going to blow them out by any stretch. I think Ohio State is better than that. They displayed that. I've never seen a team get so badly outcoached that I did Clemson. It felt like Clemson didn't even prepare for that game. So I felt like they thought they could just waltz out there and just lay their jerseys on the ground and beat Ohio State. But neither here nor there. I think that, you know, with Devontae Smith, Najee Harris, John Metchie, Forstall, you got some of these other down the line receivers that can also hurt you as well. They got a ton of weapons and they know how to use them. I think Sark is gonna. This is Sark's like last. Hey, I'm the head coach of Texas showcase, and come be a Longhorn and you can play for me type showcase, and you can have a career just like Devontae Smith, who if you look at his attributes, man, national title game winning catch. As a freshman, Heisman, check. Biletnikoff, check. Walter Camp, check. Paul Herning Award, check. Maxwell Award, check. AP Player of the Year, check. SEC Player of the Year, check. Two-time First Team All-Conference, check. Unanimous All-American, check. And then just about every Alabama and SEC record, check. So you have that to contend with, right?
That's hard to turn down right there now.
Yeah, so
that's hard to turn down.
Okay, so we're gonna double him, right? Oh wait, no, we can't because Najee Harris will go off. Oh, we can't load up stop the run because if we load up stop the run, double Devontae. Okay, that's a great plan. Okay, no, nope, John Metchie. Okay, Jalen Waddle might play. Oh God, what do we do now? I mean, you see where I'm going here. Ohio State's pass defense is terrible. Alabama's pass defense is terrible. So this is going to be a track meet, I think. And I think it's going to lend itself to a great chance at a cover from Ohio State. And on illegal motion, I picked Ohio State to cover, Alabama to win. As of right now, I'm going to stick with that because I think it's going to be a touchdown game. I think Ohio State is going to cover the 8.5 because I think this game is going to play out a lot like the Ole Miss game did for Alabama, where they scored 1.5 million points, but so did Ole Miss, and it was a tight game.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a backdoor cover by Alabama, or Ohio State might have a backdoor cover. I think that's probably the best chance is a backdoor cover for Ohio State. I don't think Ohio State's going to win this game. I think Alabama's going to just keep nudging that goal out further. So I'm taking the Tide. But Israel, another great episode, man. A lot of good things happening in Georgia athletics. Any final words before we go?
No, everybody just be safe with this COVID deal, and can't wait to see. I just wish the national championship game was like on a Saturday or something, but you know, I know everybody's going to be tuned in Monday night for the game. So everybody just be safe moving forward, and we'll talk to you guys real, real soon.
Absolutely. We got NFL playoffs this weekend, a national championship game on Monday. Lots of exciting things. Georgia tips off against Arkansas at 2:30 Central Time, 3:30 Eastern in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So look for the Georgia basketball hoop dogs to get back on track. So for Israel, I'm Corey. This is the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast. We hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy the national title game, and we'll see you back here next week. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.